It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last month, House Republicans passed a major budget bill that would make sweeping changes to tax revenue and spending in the federal government, including new work requirements and eligibility rules for Medicaid benefits and food assistance.
That legislation passed the House by one vote. Now it's being held up in the Senate, in part because of opposition from Republicans like Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, who are calling for more spending cuts.
In Wisconsin, almost 1.3 million children and adults are enrolled in Medicaid, and more than 700,000 receive food share.
What would those cuts mean here in the state? Bill Hanna is Medicaid Director at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start by talking about who in Wisconsin is currently eligible for Medicaid coverage here in the state that looks like BadgerCare and BadgerCare Plus.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we have about 1.3 million people enrolled in Medicaid in Wisconsin. That's about 20% of Wisconsinites, covering kids, adults, adults with disabilities, children with disabilities. And it goes by many names in Wisconsin, including BadgerCare, Forward Health, Family Care, IRIS, Katie Beckett, or CLTS. All of those programs are some form of Medicaid in Wisconsin.
As you look at the bill that passed the House in its current form, could be subject to change, we know. What are you looking at for the possible impact on coverage here in Wisconsin under Medicaid?
Yeah, the bill really focuses on the expansion population. In Wisconsin, that's about 194,000 adults. These are adults between the ages of 19 and 64 that do not have dependent children at home and have income below 100% of the federal poverty level. And to be clear, 100% of the federal poverty level is individuals making about $1,300 a month.
What would happen then under this bill? Would they be cut off, or is this focus on the work requirements? They'd have to establish that, hey, yes, I am working or actively looking for work to continue to receive Medicaid?
Correct. So the bill creates new work requirements for this population. We estimate that about 63,000 of the 194,000 currently enrolled are not meeting those requirements today. Certainly, we would work to encourage them and help them to meet those requirements. The requirements mean that these individuals need to meet 80 hours of qualifying activities per month. Qualifying activities include working, volunteering, or education in order to maintain their Medicaid enrollment. And that would be checked at the time that they enroll in Medicaid and at the time that they renew every 6 months, which is also a change in moving to 6 month renewals versus the current 12-month re-eligibility determinations.
People listening may say that doesn't sound so bad. This is not necessarily the original target audience for Medicaid. Do you see this causing potentially problems, people being kicked out of Medicaid who shouldn't be, or bureaucratic concerns with this?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unintended consequences. I think only two states have really tried this in earnest several years back, Georgia and Arkansas. There was a lot of confusion in Georgia. They've been running this for 18 months and only 7,000 individuals have enrolled because they've got caught up in the paperwork challenges. So there's certainly the possibility that folks that should be eligible lose coverage because they can't make it through the paperwork hurdles. I also think when we look at who is working today, you know, between the ages of 19 and 54, approximately 70% of those folks are working when you look at national data. It's when you get into that older range between 55 and 64 that number goes down. I think what you'll see is a bigger impact to that older population, primarily women. And what the bill doesn't take into account is, let's think of, for an example, a woman maybe in her 60s who was working and then stopped working to take care of her grandchildren because childcare is a challenge for folks to find. That individual would no longer be eligible for Medicaid. Creates all kinds of other challenges for families trying to make ends meet in Wisconsin. I think the other point is this will certainly increase the uninsured rate in Wisconsin. And what we know is that individuals, if they lose their Medicaid, doesn't mean they don't need health care. It means they just don't have a way to pay for it now, which will increase uncompensated care for hospitals, doctors, and other health care providers. And as we saw recently in Wisconsin, financial, you know, income is important to hospitals, especially as we've seen closures in Western Wisconsin. And uncompensated care really impacts all of us. We're all healthcare consumers. And when hospitals don't have enough revenue to stay open, they have to pass those costs on to other healthcare consumers. So while this may appear to just be impacting those 63,000 individuals that we're talking about, this really has an impact across the whole healthcare economy in Wisconsin.
A couple days back, I talked to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. He's worried about the deficit impact of this budget, but he's not worried about the cuts made to Medicaid in the bill. He says states have expanded Medicaid to cover those it's not meant for and kind of gamed the system. Here's a listen.
For every dollar the state spends on traditional Medicaid, the federal government kicks in $1.33. Again, it was supposed to be a shared responsibility administered by the states so the states would control it, so they wouldn't offer it to ineligible individuals, wouldn't expand it where it becomes completely unaffordable. Obamacare, for every dollar the state spends, the federal government kicks in $9, which has led to all kinds of what I would call legalized fraud on the parts of state governments and those providers, provider fees, provider taxes. That's not health care.
And Senator Johnson told the Journal Sentinel this week he'd support eliminating a Medicaid provider tax that allows states to take in more federal Medicaid money. In effect, states like Wisconsin gaming the system. What do you think of that, that part of the criticism of how Medicaid is working now?
States are certainly not gaming the system. Everything that states are doing is currently allowable under federal law. And in Wisconsin, we're really in a different boat than much of the state. Or much of the country, excuse me. As you know, Wisconsin has done its own partial expansion, so we're not getting the 90-10 match like many states are for our expansion population. The state is putting up 40% of that cost. We are also in Wisconsin incredibly judicious with how we use provider taxes, always with a policy goal, with an end goal of making sure one, hospitals stay open and stay viable and continue to serve Medicaid individuals. And lastly, about unqualified individuals or ineligible folks, that's just not true. Wisconsin, all states go through a review by the federal government every 3 years, determining sort of are states making errors or allowing folks on the program that shouldn't be on the program. Wisconsin's most recent review was in 2022. We had a 99.5% accuracy rate. And when you talk about what's inaccurate, it's really about dotting I's and crossing T's, not that folks are ineligible. So the facts aren't there. We run a really good program in Wisconsin, and these cuts will hurt not only the individuals that we talked about, but again, our healthcare economy.
Bill Hanna is with us, Medicaid director at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, looking at the impact of the federal budget bill passed by the House, currently in the Senate. Moving on now, Bill, to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program called Food Share here in Wisconsin. Again, who can currently receive food share benefits in the state and who might not be able to under this bill?
Sure. So under food share today, there is already a work requirement similar to what we were just talking about. The current work requirement is for adults 19 to 54 without dependent children. What the bill does is it really expands who needs to meet the work requirements in order to receive food share benefits. It expands that age range up to 65. And now includes adults who have children over the age of six. So we anticipate that an additional 88,000 people in Wisconsin will now need to submit additional paperwork to the state in order to prove that they are meeting those work requirements and in order to maintain their SNAP benefits.
What does this mean for the workload at the state with that additional documentation, both for SNAP and for those more people in those Medicaid work requirements?
Yeah, it's both additional workload. The bill also does other cost shifts from the federal government to states. Today, food share is matched 50-50 in terms of how we administer the program. The bill changes that to where the states now need to pay 75% of the cost to run the food share program. So when you, it also includes right now the benefits, the cash that goes out, the Quest cards or SNAP benefits that go out to individuals are paid 100% by the federal government. The bill adds, for the first time, a matching requirement for states, at least 5%, which is $69 million per year in Wisconsin, and goes up to as high as 25% depending on a state's error rate. So that, so the workload changes, the system changes we have to make in order to collect all the documentation, the cost shifting and administrative costs, and the new matching requirement for food share benefits. In the first year alone, we estimate it'll cost Wisconsin about $119 million just to maintain the program that we have today. That is in new state dollars to support a well-run program in Wisconsin.
A couple weeks back, we heard from Republican Representative Brian Stile from Wisconsin. Here's what he said about those SNAP cost shifts.
By having a fully federally funded program, a lot of states began to very poorly manage the SNAP program. This is all about strengthening the programs for those that it's truly designed for. And so a 5% cost shift from the federal government to the states, what that does is have states have some skin in the game. Wisconsin on the whole does a reasonably good job. Our error rate is reasonably low, although there's still room for improvement.
Bill, in our last minute, hey, putting more of this cost in the state means the state needs to do a better job and be more efficient in managing. What do you think?
Well, I don't think the bill gave us any more tools to do that, and we already run a really good program. Our administrative costs are lower than the national average, and our error rates are in the top tier, and our timeliness rates are second in the nation. There's only one other state that can say that they do it for more cost effectively and get better outcomes than us. So I don't think that the bill really gave us any tools to do that. We have a really well-run program, as the representative said. This is really just a cost shift to the state.
Bill, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Bill Hanna, Medicaid Director of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. We talked to him about how proposed changes to Medicaid and food assistance in the federal budget bill could affect people here in Wisconsin.